Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and this episode of 10 Minutes With, I get the pleasure of talking to Reed Guess a second time. Catch back. It's been a couple years since I talked to him. And first off the bat, you'll notice when we get into the interview, he's super calm. Like, he's got a lot of moving parts, and he does not seem stressed. So I bring it up in the middle of the interview, but he is, it's pretty remarkable, and whatever he's doing mentally, we all need to tap into that, which is awesome. But he and his crew have had a lot of success since we last talked. He's opened a brick and mortar, beautiful location. You have to check it out. Right now they have 2 1,000-gallon smokers. There's a 1,000-gallon behind him if you're watching the YouTube version of this. He builds these himself. These 3 1,000-gallon smokers will take up only a third of the pit space that he's built in his pit room. He built this pit room from scratch. That the new location is open Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 8. They have a Sunday brunch from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a complete a la carte brunch. It's, they call it like build your own brunch with like 44 farm steak and eggs. It's brand new. Actually, I was texting him recently to set this interview up the first day of this brunch. He said the orders are going out with brisket, ribs, pancakes, and eggs. He said it's just really cool. It's a lot of work for the staff, but he said it's just fantastic. He's had Coco Ramen. I think that was just getting started when I talked to him the first time. So now it's in a food hall. They're cooking all the meats at the guest location and bringing them over to Coco. They have pulled pork egg rolls, brisket, cream cheese, ragoons. It's Waco's first food hall, so that's really, really cool. It's open 7 days a week, which is awesome. He also has a sandwich concept, a guest family barbecue sandwich concept at the Silos, which is the Silos. If you don't know what they are, look them up. You'll know what they are. We talk about the Waco barbecue scene and how it's changing and how there's a lot more barbecue places. And he's friends with Philip and Yvette Helberg, and they've been known to help each other out. It's a really interesting interview, and it's interesting too because I had forgotten from my first interview how he came from Lambert's. A lot of the guys that he's working with him come from Lambert's. I think they have 4 guys in total with another guy coming, but it's after they've left Lambert's. He's not poaching them from Lambert's. I know this intro is all over the place, but this interview is very in-depth, and it's a short one, but there's a lot in there. He goes really in-depth into the menu. Because they are all chefs, they have a chance now with this new location to be extremely creative. They talk about, at the end, he talks about the music they're listening that gets them pumped up and why he calls one of its pits Taylor. I can't thank Reed enough. You're going to enjoy this. And I'm stoked to have AJ's Custom Cookers on board out of Saginaw, Texas, as a sponsor for this the YouTube show and podcast. I've gotten to know AJ over the last year, and I couldn't be more proud of his progress professionally, but more importantly, I'm happy to call him a friend. He's a stand-up guy, super passionate, loves his craft, loves welding, loves barbecue. He's been fabricating and welding for 27 years and founded AJ's Custom Cookers 11 years ago. Specializes in custom TIG Healy arc work, I mean, fancy metals, stainless, copper, aluminum, brass, you name it, you can do it. And because his name is AJ's Custom Cookers, which is AJ'sCustomCookers.com, you can tell, go to his website, you can see all the custom stuff. He loves doing custom stuff. He's working on some live fire stuff. And if you check out his Instagram, AJ's Custom Cookers, you can see all that stuff. He's really listening to the industry and doing things that people really want to see. You could contact him via phone. If you go to Facebook or go to his website, you can see his phone. Contact him, text him, he'll get back to you quickly. But also, he gets back on DMs really quick. Some of the guys he's worked with are Derek Walker, Smokeaholics, Joe Zavala, Zavala's Barbecue, Panther City Barbecue. His current lead time is roughly 12 months, but you can give him a call. I have a pit on order with him too, which I'm super stoked. So he's not only a sponsor, but I'm a client of his. Give him a chance, give him a call. AJ'sCustomCookers.com. AJ'sCustomCookers.com. Incredibly, I have a second sponsor for this podcast and YouTube channel. It is Treaty Oak Distilling out of Dripping Springs, Texas. They're the adult beverage partner for the show. Treaty Oak was founded in 2006 by Daniel Barnes and named after a 500-year-old tree in Austin, which is super cool. They moved their operation to their current location in 2016, which is a 28-acre property in Dripping Springs. But that's property, which is cool, is open to the public for food and beverages. Go to treatyoak.com. You can see all the information about the restaurant, Alice's. They have a live fire restaurant there, and they have live music and a cocktail lab. So that, above and beyond, is really cool. But I'm a whiskey and bourbon fan, and they're making 3 of the best in the country, not just Texas. And they have the awards to prove it. The 3 are Ghost Hill Texas Bourbon, which is limestone filtered, aged 2 years. under the hot Texas sun and bottled on-site. The red-handed bourbon is curated from Heaven Distillery in Bardstown, Kentucky. That one is earthy, kind of sweet, and aged 2 years as well. And lastly, red-handed rye is a complex, smooth, and delicious 10-year-aged rye. So good. That's really, really good. I just got into rye, and I love that one. Treaty Oak, their goal is to balance innovation with heritage. You can see all things Treaty Oak Distilling at treatyoak.com. Their social media is at Treaty Oak, or better yet, ask for it at your local bar or store. If they don't have it, they'll order it for sure. Thank you again, Treaty Oak, and remember to drink responsibly. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. It's at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I put out at least two of these per week, as well as butcher shop tours, barbecue joint tours, places where they're making charcuterie. Really, really cool stuff. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. I'm all on the social media at kevinsbbqjoints. But in the end, thank you guys for listening. I so appreciate it. Put a comment below. What's your favorite thing against barbecue? Enjoy this. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Good. Great.
It's good. It's good to talk to you. And as I mentioned off camera, it's the last time we spoke was December of 2017. So a couple things have happened since then.
A lot has happened since then. Yeah, we moved to a brick and mortar with the Guest Family Barbecue concept. We also moved into a food hall with Coco Ramen. And then we're still going strong inside the silos with our little brisket trailer.
I don't think you had that trailer at that time either.
It's possible, maybe not.
Yeah, because what's funny is I've had people, like even like my mom's friends or people have sent me photos of your place at the silos. Because of course, like lots of people like to come out to go to the silos, but they'll send me in and I'll just like circle where you are. I'll come back. I was like, this is, you go here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is that just a sandwich concept?
It is. Yeah. We serve, I think, 7 sandwiches on that menu. We have like an avocado toast and we have a brisket taco. But it's a way for us to tap into the tourist traffic that is so strong here in Waco. And,
yeah.
You know, it's really two crowds here in Waco that are happening at the same time. And they're not necessarily mixed crowds. Okay. You know, we serve all the locals at the restaurant. We do get the occasional tourists, but for us, it was our goal to, you know, be a place for Waco, and it's really working out. We have a ton of regulars and a ton of people that have been coming to that building to get barbecue for a really long time.
And it looks beautiful. It looks so great. Hey. And I love seeing your logo. That sign, was that something that someone locally made?
It is. Yeah. Our creative guy, Will Suarez, he designed it and, you know, made it into a great, great sign. We are so proud of that thing. And, you know, it's even better knowing that when you go down the street, you can see it from so far away. And, you know, it's a really iconic street in Waco that we're on. It's been very surreal. Every time I drive by it, I just can't believe my name's on a huge sign all lit up at night. It's still not old.
That's nice. And I guess when it becomes old, then that's when you have to start like rethinking what you're doing.
Yeah, get a new sign. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that, going from the trailer to the brick and mortar. How did that come about? How did you find the location?
We were in a deal with these guys at a different location, actually. They had approached us and said, hey, we have this spot. And, you know, we went not too far into that project before we found this, you know, just way better spot. It fit our concept better. I felt like it was a better part of town, even though the other one's downtown. I really wanted to tap in, like I was saying, to both crowds and be mm-hmm. serving the tourists and the, but I wanted the restaurant, the Guest Family Barbecue restaurant, really is, you know, for the locals, for Waco people and for people, you know, on barbecue tours through Texas and all that stuff. I wanted it to kind of separate it a little bit from downtown. That location would have been great. But I'm really, really happy where we are.
How far away from downtown is it?
So we're on 28th Street and, you know, downtown up to about, I don't know, 13th, 15th Street, something like that.
Big as the restaurant itself inside?
The restaurant is about 7,000 square feet, and we added a 2,000-foot smokehouse onto the back.
And as we had talked about, too, you have two smokers. How big are those smokers that are there currently?
They're 1,000 gallons.
1,000, and that's 1,000 behind you?
It is.
Beautiful.
It is, yeah.
Then you're doing it yourself, right?
I am, yeah.
That's remarkable too, that you're building, and you yes. can build it custom to what you want.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something I grew up doing, and, you know, I'm, you know, very blessed to have the skill to do it. It's not something I want to turn into a profession. And we looked at it for a little bit, and I was just like, I don't really love letting the things I make go away. You know, I don't even for money, it's just not what I'm into, you know. So it's more of a way just trying to figure out how to monetize the things I make so I can keep making more things, you know.
Yeah, so you can continue to keep them. And it's so beautiful behind it. It really is gorgeous.
Oh, thanks.
So obviously, are you to capacity almost with the two?
We are. Yeah, we are cooking about 50 briskets every day. So that's filling up both of our smokers that are inside the smokehouse. And then we have the original 1,000-gallon and a 500 outside on trailers that, you know, if we have to use, we do. We also smoke all the meats for Coco Ramen there. So all the chasu, which is the pork belly for the ramen bowls, goes in every bowl. We smoke all that there. The chicken wings were there and for guests. So other than the just normal kind of rotation of, I think we have eight meats on the menu. Other than that, we have a lot of things to smoke as well. So those other two pits get fired up a lot, and that's what I'm trying to remedy by having this guy finished. And I'm about 85% done with it, so I just pretty much have the grates and the thermometers left.
That's not bad at all. Now, is the smokehouse big enough to hold the third one?
It is. Our local paper actually called it cavernous. we went ahead and made sure we had space to grow. You know, restaurant, I always imagined opening a restaurant, it was going to be this perfect space that I created. And one day we would just open the doors and it would be like, look at this perfect space. And it's so far from that. There comes a point, I think, in most restaurants where you're building. It's like, we have to stop and sell something now, you know. So it's been a work in progress. And we definitely, I built the smokehouse as well. So when we built that structure, I made sure that we had plenty of room. So the three 1,000-gallon smokers will take up one-third of the smokehouse.
That's amazing. So you don't have a ping pong table and the rest of the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've got a couple wood-fire grills and a live fire table that's in there that we use as well for smoking burgers and doing specials and stuff. We have steak nights or we do special events or whatever. It's nice to have the wood-fire grill.
And so are you open 6 days a week?
We are open 5 days a week.
5 days a week, okay.
And we do four dinners. So we're Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 8. And then we do Sunday brunch, which we just started last week.
Yeah, I saw that. I think we were talking a little bit during that.
Yeah, you texted me about doing this. We were 5 minutes from opening, and it went so well. I kind of expected it to be sort of a first day type feel. And, man, my guys just really rallied. And despite it being the busiest Sunday we've ever had, the most guests we've ever served in a day, it was pretty seamless and great.
What are you offering for that brunch?
So we did something a little bit crazy for the kitchen. I know the guests are going to love it, so we're just really pushing to make it work. But what we're doing is a complete a la carte menu. So the same idea is coming in to order brisket, potato salad, coleslaw. You could come in and order that, or you could order from our brunch menu. We made everything a la carte. So we had tons of plates going out that were brisket, ribs, pancakes, and eggs.
That's so killer. That's so clever.
It's a nightmare in the kitchen.
Yeah, it sounds like one.
You know, I know that's what I would want to eat if I went to brunch at a barbecue place. I still want to eat the barbecue, but I also want the brunch, but I don't want to buy three, four entrees, you know? So we do have the big plate. We have a big plate of pancakes, big plate of French toast, but we made sure that we could, you know, kind of make everything small enough that it could fit on a one or two or three or 10 meat plate, whatever people want to do. And they're all, each item is priced separately. So you can sort of just, we call it build your own brunch. Super clever. People really responded well to it. And it was definitely the hot spot on the menu. Well, we're doing pulled pork pancakes with whiskey butter as well, made with Balcones whiskey from here in Waco. It's really good. And then we did steak and eggs with some 44 Farms tri-tip and some home fries as a special last week. So it's definitely a spot where those guys that I pulled from Austin to come work for me kind of get to be creative a little bit.
That is so awesome. And that's a great thing for people too. Like, it's also good for like the tourists that are coming to town. But for locals, that's a nice to have a brunch spot like that.
That's right. Yeah. And we, you know, we were really happy with the first service. Really, really happy.
Does that start at 10:30 or 11?
10 o'clock. We do 10 a.m. to 4.
Were you sold out?
We didn't sell out. We made a ton of meat. And, you know, we, like I said, we have all the smokers, and it's, I mean, when you have a, when I build the smokers, it's sort of hard to sell out. Cause if I get anywhere close, I'm just like, I got to go start another one. You know, I don't want to be the guy that can build a smoker and also running out of barbecue. It's just not, we don't ever go for sold out. Having the other concepts, really allow us to utilize anything left over, as a sandwich or, you know.
So you could use that for the silos. You could use that for cocoa.
Right. Yeah. So if we have brisket or turkey left over.
Oh, that's smart.
When we have it left over, it's almost always. We do run out of brisket. We definitely run out of sliced brisket. There comes a point in the day where I just say, we got to chop now. You know, yeah. We can't slicing brisket anymore today because we go till 8 p.m. You know, they only hold up so long. So, but yeah, if we have leftover brisket or turkey or whatever, we slice it and put it on the menu at the silos. And so we have five or six sandwiches there that really pull from the menu at guests, so that the people that come to the restaurant, to the guest restaurant, definitely know that it's fresh every day. We have pulled pork egg rolls at Coco Ramen. We have brisket and cream cheese rangoons. And then also we offer fresh, like if you go and get a bowl of ramen and order brisket add-on, it's a fresh brisket from that day.
Yeah, I saw that. And that's like such a pleasure. Like it's not that, you know, in Los Angeles we don't have it, so I'm just like a mad, but I've you know, the chashu, I love that, the chashu pork on ramen. But it's, and you said you guys do that there, so was, when we originally talked, was Coco just a trailer at the time? Wasn't your like nephew working or something? Or
we were probably just starting it at that point. And it was behind a bar.
Yeah.
We did really well there because it was pretty close to Baylor. A lot of students came all the time. And then this opportunity came up for us to go into a food hall. It's Waco's first food hall. We had an opportunity to go in there and we took it, and it's been doing really well.
Is that open 5 days a week too, or 6 days?
7 days a week.
So that's seven. So you can get guests 7 days a week somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And is, right. are they open every day?
They're
of the week?
6 days a week. They're closed on Sunday.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. That they'd be closed on Sunday.
Yeah. So lunch and dinner, at least 5 days a week, we have three places going. Wow. And then, you know, Coco's 7 days. So
can you imagine, like, what does it feel like to have all this? Like, it was kind of these were kind of like a little bit of dreams when we first talked.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was always the goal. You know, some people start in food trucks to prove their concept and then go on to restaurants. And that's one thing. My whole team came from restaurants, yeah, and really nice, really well put together restaurants. So we were definitely not happy in the food truck, and that life is, it's hard. And we were so, so happy to get, you know, into a restaurant, a proper restaurant with plenty of space. And our food has definitely shown, you know, it has definitely proved to be better out of that spot.
And it's nice to have that background too, because you can perform, and also it gives you that opportunity to really shine, because in a food truck, it's very limited, extremely limited.
It's extremely limited.
Now, do you still have that food truck, or did you get rid of it?
We do. We use it for events. Yeah. It sits out back of a restaurant, but we use it pretty much weekly for events or caterings or whatever. We go to Baylor a lot. I'm excited for them to come back to school so we can get the truck back over there for their events. They're great customers.
Wow, are you stressed? Or you seem real calm for a while. Like, are you meditating or something?
I have a great team. I have a guy, Cade Mercer, who came from Austin. It's basically the whole Lambert's crew that I had at Lambert's. I've one by one kind of, there, none of them were at Lambert's anymore. They had all moved on. So it wasn't, you know, just picking people.
Poaching, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they had all moved on, and I keep catching them at these perfect times in their life where they can move to Waco and sort of take a chance on something. And so I have a total of four guys that I brought from Lambert's. Another one's coming in 6 months.
Oh, wow.
But Cade Mercer pretty much runs Coco Ramen and guests as far as the kitchen side goes. He's taken it really well. He's been the chef of restaurants before, Eastside Tavern in Austin. And, you know, he's really taken to the double restaurant.
I've always heard great things about
him. Yeah, he's great. He just learned ramen on a whim because I asked him to. He didn't know anything about it. And I was like, this is something I really want to do, but I don't necessarily have time because I'm cooking and slicing and everything at the trailer. I was doing all three shifts. So, yeah, I was like, I need someone. And he came and he's done that and slummed it in the trailers is what he always says. But he was probably the happiest of everyone to to be back in a real restaurant.
I know. I'd imagine. I wonder how many people, too, thinking about it, have come from Lambert's or offshoots, like people that have worked at Lambert's and then moved on. Like, I think that a lot of people have touched different people that have worked there. That's amazing.
For sure. For sure. The Austin culinary scene grew just as fast as the city did. So, you know, when I was there was during that boom, and it's still booming. But I was there 15 years cooking. So I made a lot of friends, a lot of great relationships. And, you know, there are people all over the world that I've cooked with. And there are some that have kept going with the barbecue side, because Lambert's is a very two-sided place. There's the fine dining aspect, and then there's the barbecue.
Yeah,
it's been fun to watch. Yeah, how people sort of take the knowledge that they get there and move to other places. And
it almost mirrors how, like, I don't want to say the real restaurant world, but like the fine dining restaurant world, you'd see people like would start like work with Wolfgang Puck, or they work with somebody, and then they go off on their own, and then they go off on their own. Like, it's kind of.
It's exactly, and that's how, you know, that's how the world works, I guess. But it's, you know, it's just like the whole Aaron Franklin and John Miller and John Lewis, and, you know, everyone came from somewhere. You know, we didn't, none of us invented this. We all learned it from someone.
Exactly. Yeah. But it does kind of stem from like six places, it just seems like. But,
exactly.
Or at least the inspiration.
It's a family tree for sure.
Yeah.
You know, people, there's never really beefs in the Texas barbecue community. There are some, but not a lot.
Small.
And it's small because everyone knows everyone, and we all understand, you know, this, we didn't invent this. We're just trying to further it along.
And also too, a lot of times you see that it doesn't hurt to have another barbecue restaurant like in your area or semi close to you, because you're busy and there's another one.
And they're great people.
Yeah, they're nice. I love the two of them.
They're so great, and they I'm maybe one of their biggest fans, just because Waco doesn't get a ton of people passing through for barbecue. Mm-hmm. We do get it some, but not a ton, and they're only helping us with that crowd, you know, by having two spots here in Waco. I feel like people are more likely to make this a destination or a stop along the way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we're always trying to support each other. They helped me out a couple weeks ago with something, and then their scale broke, and I let them borrow our scale while they were getting a new one. You know, we're both always trying to help each other out. So
yeah, and like maybe, and like there's growing pains in everything, and there's learning curves, and I'm sure, you know, it doesn't hurt to help them, or the help, like if there's something that they need from you. Yeah, that's killer. That's really killer. And they seem like really down to earth, nice people too.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, they're great. Phil was in the restaurant like 2 days ago because we get our spices from the same place. And I have a guy that goes to Austin or meets halfway to Austin to get them. And now he's picking up for both places. So Phil was at the restaurant picking up his black pepper from us. So, yeah, we're always down to help them. And I know that they have my back if I ever need them.
And it does seem like a lot. I've hearing more and more that it's not like people are going to Waco for barbecue, like specifically for, because I'd always say just go to Guess. You have to go to Guess. But now they're like, there's a couple other places. Yeah. And then it's not just the silos.
Yeah. Not just the silos, which are great.
Yeah. Which are great.
They're great, but there's so much more here.
There's so much more here.
I think everyone who's sort of part of this new kind of movement in Waco, the people opening up new businesses and stuff there, we're all trying to push, you know, that there are more things to do here, and a new, you know, new places are opening all the time. So definitely, we're all part of the same movement. We're all on the same team here.
Yeah. I think I would agree. And there, it just seems like the interest in barbecue continues to grow.
It does. I don't understand it. I mean, I don't even try to doubt it or forecast it or whatever. It's just still expanding. We were just talking the other day about how every year when the top 50 comes out, how tough of a job that must be. Never before have I, always before I thought Daniel Vaughn had a great job. Like, I don't think I would want his job, because so many people deserve that honor and so that there are now. I mean, I don't know, there may be, we were talking about the other day how there may be some sort of new way of putting out the list, where there'd be more people, less people. It almost seems like it has to change because there are so many places worthy of being on that list.
I've had that same discussion with people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't envy that job at all.
It's almost like they've they've helped create their own problem.
And that also what we were talking about earlier, where everyone learns from somebody else, and as soon as you learn it, you're like, well, I could do this on my own, you know. And that's spawned all these places that are just phenomenal. You almost can't go anywhere without there being a really great barbecue place around.
Yeah, and that makes it really nice. And I'm sure it helps certain economies and makes people go like out to Marfa or like places that people might not even have thought to go or way south. Or like, yeah, like it is pretty amazing. And it's I'm so happy for you. And I was always a champion of you from afar, but now that you're where you are, and it makes me really, really, really jealous of anyone that's like within like a half an hour to an hour from you. Because if say someone's listening to this and they're in Austin, how far away is Waco from Austin?
90 miles.
90 miles.
About an hour and a half. It's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Nah, no construction anymore.
Oh, the construction's gone.
No construction, little construction. it was pretty torn up for a while, and Dallas is 90 miles away as well, but it always seems so much closer because of the roads. But they've got it pretty dialed in between here and Austin now. So if you're going to Austin, it'll probably take you a while, because once you get to Round Rock, it's awful. But we don't have traffic here at all. It's great.
So are you recommending people move to Waco, or is that, or are you guys, do you have enough people already? Oh yeah,
sure. Marriers, I have a pretty high threshold after that much time in Austin. So yeah, bring them on.
That's awesome. So then let's go over just really quickly your menu. You said you have 7 proteins?
Let's see. We have brisket, pork ribs, pulled pork, 2 kinds of sausage. We have a beef and roasted garlic, and then a chipotle cheddar. We do turkey. What am I forgetting? We have baby back ribs as well as the spare ribs. Oh. We do pastrami beef ribs on Saturdays. And then we have a special almost every day. We have one every day. It's most of the time it's meat. Sometimes, you know, it's a dessert or a couple sides or whatever. So
are you guys making the desserts in house?
We are. We're making every single thing in house. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And then sides wise, like this, the, not just, but the standard size, or do you, and you guys kind of, I'm sure, play with them. Cause
we do. Yeah. Depending on what's, you know, sort of seasonal or whatever. We mess with them a little bit, but we still have the basic ones of beans and the, potato salad, coleslaw, grits we always have, and that's our most selling side is grits. People love our grits. We do a broccoli salad now. We do a version of corn right now. Actually, we don't have corn now. We have collard greens now, which are really great.
You have your brunch on Sunday. You said a burger. Is a burger special sometimes? Or?
It is. We have a whole sandwich side of the menu as well at the restaurant, where we do a brisket melt. We do a turkey sandwich, which is like a turkey BLT. We do pulled pork and chopped beef sandwiches. We have a sausage sandwich with brisket jam that's really good. We have a bunch of appetizers as well now, because we have a whole, like I said, separate side of the kitchen with a fryer and a flat top. So we have chicken wings that are
I saw a picture of that, yeah.
Yeah, our buffalo chicken wings are really good. And we have deviled eggs. And the next thing, now that we have brunch done, the next thing I keep getting comments that people would like a salad or something, so we're gonna try to do 2 or 3 lighter options.
I guess you have to.
Yeah, we have enough space, and it's, you know, it's crazy not to. It is a place that was trying to push this sort of 5 meat 5 sides. This is what we have, and whatever. And we've learned that at least in Waco, it's not about what you want to sell; it's what people want to buy. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're happy to be able to have the space to, you know, execute all these things.
Nice that you can accommodate that. That's killer.
Yeah,
and it adds more, it adds reason to come multiple days too.
Exactly. That was a huge part of it. You know, people are definitely coming weekly, but how do you get them to come in twice? You know, you definitely need some variety on the menu. So that's what we did.
And what are the hours?
11 to 8 Wednesday through Saturday, and then 10 to 4 on Sunday for brunch.
Awesome.
We have a full bar too. I also should say that.
Oh,
we
yeah, I forgot about. I was going to ask about that.
Bar with specialty drinks and all that stuff. We have fully stocked bar.
That is awesome. That's really cool. Well, thank you for taking time. I have 3 like non-barbecue questions I want to ask you before we go.
Oh, I'm terrible at these. All right.
Let's do a terrible job. Let's do it off. Well, I just, if you weren't doing what you're doing right now, you weren't doing barbecue, what would you ideally, what would you like to do? Or what, as a child, what did you want to do?
As a child, I wanted to own a car wash and be a garbage man.
Nice.
Do the amount of quarters and riding on the back of the truck. if I wasn't doing barbecue now, definitely, I think I would want to build, I would want to weld. I would want to be a welder. I think, it's pretty great money, and I've worked really hard to try to be the best I can at it. So it's just, it's like this other skill that I have, I think now that, I would love to do that for a living.
That's awesome.
My body probably wouldn't last very long being a welder, no, starting at 38.
It's not an easy job to begin with. Yes. But that's
building these 1,000-gallon pits by myself too. It's a struggle.
Is this in your, at your house, or is this?
No, I have a shop right outside of town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, what do you listen to music wise, or what are you guys listening to at the restaurant?
I listen to pretty much everything. There's really no kind of music that I don't have some sort of, you know, some band that I don't like that's in that genre. But Langhorne Slim's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
The A$AP Brothers, you know, that whole bluegrass movement that went from old school to sort of new school bluegrass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of been always my favorite. But I'm also a sucker for a pop song, you know, and that's what we listen to typically at the restaurant, just to kind of keep the energy going. And you know, even if it's you know, silly or whatever, it gets the job done. Interesting story about music too. The last pit I built, I named Taylor because in the 150 hours it took to build it, I listened to exclusively Taylor Swift. I don't have a good reason why I did it, but just something I started, and so I know her entire catalog.
Nice.
And I'm a huge fan because she's great. And, you know,
she is, you know what, she gets a lot of flack, but she is pretty amazing. Like, it's,
yeah. People hate her all the time. That's fine. That music makes me happy. So
yeah. And in the end, like, who cares as long as it makes you happy? Like, there's, I think I like a lot of, I think I like a lot of really good music and maybe things that people don't listen to. But then again, there's a lot of really quote unquote crappy stuff that I just love the hell out of. It's just
very true.
Now, it's, what are the names of your smokers? This is going back to the barbecue part.
So the first one is Blanca. She's named after a prep cook I had at Lambert's.
Okay.
And then there's Taylor. And this one we're going to name Amos Moses from Jerry Reed's song.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. And my last question is, what restaurant are you digging that's not barbecue right now?
Here in town, there's a place called Revival Eastside Eatery that's great. Milo, of course, is just really, really good. And then, you know, we're having fun just going to all the mom and pop places. There's a Mexican food place here called Rufi's Cocina. Huh. That does just like, I had chilaquiles from there this morning. It's the best chilaquiles I've ever had. And they do really hot sauce and that. So right now it's Rufi's. Rufi's Cocina is the best place right now.
Okay.
My favorite place.
That's awesome. I think that, like, more than ever, I think it warrants staying in Waco to go to your place a couple times for anybody. And then they could also go to what, Rufio's? Is that
Rufi's.
Oh, yeah. Rufi's. Okay. Well, they could also, yeah. And there's a lot of options and stuff. I think it would just be, it's fun to go and explore a town. So I think it would be fun for someone or myself to come and stay for a couple of days. Cause then you could visit your restaurant a number of times as well as check out the town.
And Coco Ramen.
Coco Ramen. Well, that's when I said restaurant, I meant like go to all three of your spots.
Right. Yeah. Go to all three.
You have to walk in the silos just probably to experience what's going on.
Yeah. And there's no line. You can just walk right in. It's free. You can just walk in, see it. Say you've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's funny is, yeah, someone was filming like panning and there was like three people in line, but it wasn't like 700 people deep. It wasn't too bad.
No, that's the Cupcakes. The Cupcakes has a huge line every day. Yeah. Hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Thousands of
companies. Yeah. I honestly, it still marvels me how big they've gotten and I guess they don't have their own TV network.
Network. What's after that, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's it. You buy a state or something. I don't know. You create an animal reserve or something. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. But thank you, Reed, for taking the time again. And I'm glad to, I just wanted to kind of get an update from you as well as, you know, talk about the new spot because I want people to know about it. If they don't know about it, or maybe they've heard, but they don't know enough about it. So I think we've shed a little bit more light onto it.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Well, have a great rest of your evening.
Awesome. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Take it easy.